The Carolina Panthers and the Philadelphia Eagles met on the football field in Week 7 of the NFL season, but it was the pregame confrontation and the postgame remarks from Eric Reed and Malcolm Jenkins that garnered a bulk of the attention.
I would never get up here and say anything bad about somebody who I know whose intentions were real about helping, their community, especially another black man. So I'm leaving it at that. Look, I'm not going to get up here and say anything negative about that man. I respect him. I'm glad he has a job. I'm glad he's back in the league. Leave it like that.
We believe a lot of players should have stepped up for Colin. I believe Malcolm capitalized on the situation. He co-opted the movement that was started by Colin to get his organization funded. It's cowardly. He sold us out.
What is the Players Coalition? How did it start? And did Malcolm Jenkins sell out Colin Kaepernick and Eric Reed? We're going to attempt to answer those questions on this episode of Be Conscious. Welcome in. I am Damian Barling, and I'm so happy that you're here. I'm so happy you hit the download button. If you're a subscriber, welcome back. If this is your first episode, I appreciate you being here. Hope you like what you hear. Make sure you spend some time digging through in the archives. We got some fantastic episodes with some great authors. DeRay McKesson is one of them. Ijoma Alua is one of them. We have researchers. We have reporters. Some episodes are just me. You're going to hear me reference our very first episode with Howard Bryant a number of times here, as Howard Bryant has strong feelings on Malcolm Jenkins and the Players Coalition, which we talked about in our first episode. As recently as last week, I talked to my man Karin J. Phillips of the New York Daily News. He has strong feelings on Malcolm Jenkins, and he's come up, Malcolm Jenkins has come up in multiple conversations that I've had with Karin here on Be Conscious. So if this is your first episode, once we're finished up here, dig in the archives. I think you'll like what you're going to hear. If you're a subscriber, make sure you rate and review the show. That would really help a lot. I'd greatly appreciate it. Rating the show takes like a split second. All you got to do is hit the number of stars that you think this show is worth, whether it's 3, 4, 5, whether it's 1, whatever you think this show is worth, hit that number of stars. Again, it takes only a split second. Reviewing the show takes a little bit longer if you have some time this weekend. Maybe just type up a little something about what you think about the show, submit that to iTunes or whatever platform that you use. It helps us get noticed. I say iTunes a lot because I know a bulk of you are listening through Apple Podcasts. But for you who are listening on Google Play or Spotify, you could do the same thing there. And then if this is your first episode, hit the subscribe button. We try to drop a new episode every single week. We try to drop a new episode, with a few exceptions, every single Thursday. So go ahead and hit the subscribe button. I think you'll like what you hear. I think you'll like what we're doing here. I don't know that you're going to like my opinion on this, because I've spent a lot of time researching the Players Coalition, and it took a long time to form the opinion today that I have. And I said we're going to attempt to answer the question whether Malcolm Jenkins is a sellout, but we're going to kind of set the table for you. The Players Coalition is something that we've talked about a lot on this podcast. I mentioned the Howard Bryant episode. I mentioned Karin J. Phillips. And anytime the conversation is about sports and politics, particularly the NFL, particularly here in 2018, the Players Coalition is going to be a talking point. So let's kind of lay everything out for you, and we'll try to conclude with what you just heard from Malcolm Jenkins and Eric Reed, which happened this past week, and answer those lingering questions about the Players Coalition and Malcolm Jenkins' role in this so-called movement. And it's funny how the Players Coalition has almost mimicked the response to Colin Kaepernick's demonstrations during the national anthem. So the answer to, hey, what's this about? What's the Players Coalition? It'll almost completely depend on who you ask. The Players Coalition formed informally shortly after Colin Kaepernick first took a knee during the national anthem in August of 2016. Now, remember, at the time, you couldn't check social media without seeing video of a police shooting, almost always involving a black man on your feed. It had become a far too frequent occurrence. And the conversation started, at least in terms of the NFL, started with around 100 players. I believe it was an online chat, according to the Undefeated. And many were asking, hey, what can we do to help? We see what you're doing, Cap. We want to bring attention to this as well. And Cap said, if you're not going to kneel, don't do anything. Because if you do, it's going to muddy the message and it's going to confuse people, and no one will really know the purpose of what I'm doing. Now, Cap's words fell on deaf ears that day as some kneeled, some raised their fist. Later, after Donald Trump told a group of supporters in Alabama that owners should fire those sons of bitches that didn't stand for the national anthem. More kneeled, at least for a week, and others locked arms. The demonstration that Colin Kaepernick had spent plenty of time explaining, by the way, and again, if you want to hear Colin Kaepernick's explanation, you can go back to that first episode of Be Conscious, where we air clips of Colin Kaepernick dispelling virtually every myth that has ever been sent out there into the social media world, or perhaps the news talk world. He shut those all down on day one. I guess people just decided they didn't want to listen to him. They were too enamored by the act of, at the time, sitting during the national anthem. But he made it clear, I'm doing this to protest racial inequalities for people of color and police brutality. And we just mentioned that Cap had said, if you're not going to kneel, don't do anything. And his fears were realized when Malcolm Jenkins raised a fist. But he wasn't doing it because of racial inequalities and police brutality. He was doing it in support of the Clean Slate Act, which would seal the criminal records of anyone with misdemeanor convictions, with the exception of violence and sex offenses, if they stayed clean for 10 years. Now, that was something that was related personally to him, but that's what his fist in the air meant. Anquan Boldin, who was still playing at the time, he chose not to make a public demonstration, but he spoke out in hopes of bringing attention to police brutality after a cousin was killed by a plainclothes police officer a few years prior, 2015. So the demonstration has since been called un-American, anti-patriotic. It's been disrespectful of the military, the flag, the country. And at the beginning, the group consisted, this group that was really having conversations, it was Malcolm Jenkins, it was Anquan Boldin, Andrew Hawkins was in it, Josh McCown, and Glover Quinn. In early 2017, more players began to reach out and they decided to trademark the name Players Coalition. Now, here's where it gets a little bit weird. Apparently, the Players Coalition is similar to Fight Club in that we all know the first rule of Fight Club is you don't talk about Fight Club. Well, I guess the first rule of the Players Coalition is to not admit you're actually in the Players Coalition. Because you could go to the Players Coalition website and see the 12 governing bodies of the Players Coalition, which Malcolm Jenkins, it's all the names that we just named right there, Anquan Boldin, Josh McCown, all those guys are still in it. But no one knows for sure how many members are actually a part of the Players Coalition. Some say it's between 30 and 40, just many of them don't want to be identified. And according to the Undefeated, many of them are white. Josh McCown is white. Many of the other members of the Players Coalition are white. They just don't want to be identified. So ask yourself this. If players didn't believe that Colin Kaepernick's collusion claim was real, why would they fear being identified as a member of the Players Coalition? And if the players didn't believe that there were legitimate consequences for speaking out against inequality, why would they not want to be associated with a group that's supposed to be doing something good? And this is why people are so confused about the Players Coalition, and this is why people have such strong opinions on Malcolm Jenkins. We haven't even heard anything from the Players Coalition, but I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself. So let me slow down a little bit. Let me step back. Colin Kaepernick actually isn't a part of the Players Coalition. According to Malcolm Jenkins, Anquan Boldin, they attempted to recruit him. He said, no, I'm going to lay back. I'm just going to continue to do what I'm doing, but I'll talk. I'll be on all the conference calls. I'll be on the group chat. I'll be doing all that stuff. At least that's according, again, to Malcolm Jenkins and Anquan Boldin. I mentioned this. I brought up the Players Coalition, and I think I mentioned this on last week's episode. But I brought up the Players Coalition to Dr. Harry Edwards when I had the opportunity to speak to him last week. And he was adamant that he didn't have a problem with Malcolm Jenkins no longer raising a fist. He was supportive of what the Players Coalition was trying to do, but also noted that the whole movement was dead the second more players didn't get behind Colin Kaepernick. Now, Dr. Harry Edwards is famous for kind of being the man behind the 1968 Olympic Mexico City protest or demonstration on the podium with Tommy Smith and John Carlos, which we talked about in depth last week. He was a sociology professor, and he wrote Revolt of the Black Athlete back in the 60s. And so he was kind of at the head of all this. He's been an advisor to the San Francisco 49ers. When Colin Kaepernick first started demonstrating during the national anthem, Roger Goodell called Dr. Harry Edwards and asked how he should handle this. And Dr. Edwards said, immediately, you have to throw your support behind Colin Kaepernick. Support what he's doing, because if you don't, you're going to make him look like, ultimately what he is now, you're going to make him out to look like a martyr. And Dr. Harry Edwards was adamant. The movement was dead the second more players didn't surround him. Like Eric Reed, the very next week, when Cap went from sitting during the national anthem to kneeling during the national anthem, Eric Reed was right there next to him. And I think there were probably a handful of others as time went along. More killings started to happen. They started to be more and more in your face week after week after week. And you would see a handful of players here and there. A couple of the names that we'll mention here today kind of jumped on board early. And some are still doing it today. But for the most part, it was always a very small percentage of the league. Save that one day after Donald Trump called, you know, fire these sons of bitches, where it felt like, you know, I think it was 36 or 37% of the league either took a knee, locked arms, or in the case, I remember it was the Pittsburgh Steelers, I think one other team didn't even come out of the locker room. So according to Dr. Edwards, the movement was dead then. And even these movements, when they're strong, have a short shelf life. So I took that into account as I continued to study more and more about the Players Coalition. And Roger Goodell had asked Anquan Boldin, like, what does support look like? Like, you guys want support. You've sat down with us. You've told us, meaning the owners, you want more support on these issues. Well, what does support look like? Well, we'll get to what it looks like in just a couple of minutes. In the meantime, Eric Reed, who was not an original member of the Players Coalition, despite some reservations, decided to join the group, as did Russell Okung, Mike Thomas. And again, you're going to hear those names again here in just a minute. On October 17th, 13 players showed up to league headquarters to meet with 11 owners, Roger Goodell and Troy Vincent. A four-hour meeting concluded with what was called unconditional support from the owners in attendance. No, Jerry Jones was not in attendance. Now, much like the coalition and the demonstrations, what happened with Colin Kaepernick here depends entirely on who you ask. If you ask Malcolm Jenkins, he didn't want to be there. He didn't want to be at that meeting with the owners. If you ask Eric Reed, he was never invited. If you ask Colin Kaepernick's camp, the league didn't want him there. Now, according to the Undefeated, Troy Vincent text Colin Kaepernick or Colin Kaepernick's representatives, one or the other, in September and then again in November, and asked for a face-to-face meeting. There was no response to either of those texts. At this point, there was a lot of dissension between what was kind of dubbed Kaepernick's camp, which was Cap, Eric Reed, a couple of the guys I had mentioned just a moment ago, Mike Thomas, Kenny Steeles, Michael Bennett, those guys. And Eric Reed really being the voice in that group for Colin Kaepernick had started to get frustrated and started to ask questions. Okay, we're getting all of these proposals from the league. We're getting proposals about money, but where is this money coming from? Okay, you guys are fighting for one thing, which is criminal justice reform. That's fantastic, but what about the players who are actually demonstrating? What about the players who are fighting for social inequality and fighting against police brutality? And it was always Eric Reed that would have question after question after question on this big group text that apparently the members of the player coalition were a part of. So at some point during this time, Josh Norman got fed up with this. And if you're a sports fan, you know that Josh Norman has a big mouth. He runs it. He talks a big game. He has a big game. He talks a big game. He essentially challenged Eric Reed to a fight through a group text. And more fallout from all this is Roger Goodell is pissed because he knows there's a split in the players' coalition. There's the Kaepernick camp, and then there's, I guess, the Malcolm Jenkins and Quan Baldwin camp. And owners, they just want any and everything that sounds like protest, that sounds like social inequality, that sounds like kneeling. They want all of that stuff to go away immediately. So that got us to November 29th. Eric Reed sent a text to Roger Goodell and told him he was no longer represented by the Players Coalition and they could no longer speak for him. Eric Reed told Roger Goodell that he would reach out to him at a later time. Russell Okung followed suit, as did Michael Thomas. Michael Bennett did as well. And Kenny Stills did. Kenny Stills, Michael Thomas, those guys still take a knee during the national anthem today. The very next day, November 30th, we saw what the NFL's version of support looks like. It was decided that support looked like a 7-year, $89 million commitment to social justice causes that the players found important. Awesome. That's fantastic. Right? Where's the money coming from? I don't know. They insist it's new money. Eric Reed says it's not. Eric Reed says this money is being shifted from the breast cancer groups, the military awareness groups, all of that. No one really knows the truth, which I think is a running theme when it comes to Players Coalition. Like, no one knows for sure. But this is great, right? 7 years, $89 million commitment to social justice causes that the players find important. But what players? Like, the Players Coalition? Does the coalition, do they decide where they want the money to go? Is it the Players Coalition, like the guys that don't want to be identified as members of the Players Coalition? Are they deciding where this money goes? Is it the NFL Players Association? Is it all players? Like, who is deciding where this $89 million goes? This is a question, to the best of my knowledge, after all of this research, has never been answered. Now, I've been able to dig up little pieces like some of the money is going to the I think it was the United Negro College Fund. And then there's various organizations, but there is zero description anywhere, even from the people most connected to this group, about how frequent this money gets dispensed. Who decided where this money gets dispensed? I assume it was the Players Coalition, which I find weird because it's an $89 million, it's essentially an $89 million donation on behalf of a coalition that appears to be afraid to be identified. Here's another question. Since the announcement of the deal, and it's going on a year ago, well over a year ago. Another question. Have you heard anything about the Players Coalition? Now, I'm not talking about like Eric Reed and Malcolm Jenkins and what caused the dust up on the football field. I'm talking about the actual Players Coalition. Have you heard anything about it since then? I haven't. You know how closely I'm monitoring this stuff every day. I haven't heard anything about it since. I've read the different little articles. I've read all the stuff that they put on their website. They got a nice little shop area. You can buy t-shirts in support of the Players Coalition. That's great. I haven't heard a thing about him. Where's the t-shirt money going to? What cause does that go to? Where can I find a description of all of this stuff? Here's what Anquan Baldwin said. At the end of the day, the NFL is a business. And if the owners feel like the kneeling is going to hurt their bottom line, they will take that platform away from guys. Then what will guys have? You going to take a knee at practice when nobody's watching? Now you don't have a platform. You don't have a seat at the table to bring up real change. I doubt there are any of those guys who are willing to walk away from their jobs and say, I'm not willing to play in a sport anymore until X, Y, and Z are done. End quote. Again, that's Anquan Boldin. Did the lunch counter take away food when the Greensboro Four decided they wanted to eat at a certain restaurant and we needed to desegregate lunch counters? When the Voting Rights Act passed, did America stop voting? When the bus system shut down in 1955, did buses just stop? Nah, Anquan, that's not how this works, man. That's not how this works. Now, I'm not naive. Like, I can look back at what we talked about last week. I can look back at what Tommy Smith and John Carlos and Dr. Harry Edwards were talking about in 1968 and see that 50 years later till the day, we're still talking about the same problems. We're still fighting the same issues. We're still fighting racial inequality. We're still fighting against police brutality. But by that quote from Anquan Boldin, what are we supposed to do? Just stop? Like, all right, well, I guess it hasn't changed in 50 years, so I guess we just keep it moving, guys. No need, you know, it's all right. Don't worry about it if you're, you know, your 14-year-old godson gets killed because he's just a smidge bit too dark. Nah, don't worry about that. Just keep it moving. Come on, Anquan. That's a terrible line. They're going to take your seat away? Now, we know that that's true. And then he says, let me go back to this last line real quick before we move on. I doubt there are any of these guys who are willing to walk away from their jobs and say, I'm not willing to play in this sport anymore until X, Y, and Z are done. Correct me if I'm wrong. Isn't that what Colin Kaepernick did? I know Colin Kaepernick wanted to play football, but he's not jumping through any hoops. I know Colin Kaepernick is being blackballed. I know this is a collusion effort. I don't know whether they're going to be able to prove it, but I know this is a collusion effort. But didn't he walk away? Couldn't he have gone to the owners and said, hey, we're good. Sorry. I'll make a public apology. Couldn't he have, the week after all of the backlash, just shut the whole thing down? He could have done that, right? If he thought he knew, because he spoke about his career being in jeopardy. Couldn't he have ended it right then? Anquan Boldin says, no one's willing to not play this sport until X, Y, Z are done, except the face of the entire movement. The guy who started the whole thing did just that. Now, when reading articles about the Players Coalition, you can usually get an idea who's talking to the reporter. I do this a lot on the radio show that I host in Sacramento, California. I like to play a game called Guess the Source. When you're reading a report from an NBA insider, an NFL insider, you can usually get a feel if it's coming from a player, if it's coming from a coach, if it's coming from the owner or a general manager. You can usually get a feel as to what the narrative is of why that information was leaked. Now, I reached out to Jason Reed, who wrote the Undefeated article, but ESPN prohibited him from speaking on this podcast because that's company policy for a non-ESPN entity, and I deal with that all the time. No big deal. But I read his article and noticed that, and he noted that Eric Reed and Colin Kaepernick weren't contacted for the piece, and they were contacted for the piece, excuse me. They just chose not to participate. So on the Undefeated, they did reach out to Cap. They did reach out to Eric Reed. Neither one of them wanted to participate. Josh Norman did. Aqib Talib did. They both spoke on the record. Malcolm Jenkins wasn't attributed anything directly, at least not that I saw, but I feel like he was painted in a pretty nice light. He was probably talked to. But what really stood out is one really important text exchange that was excluded from this conversation in the Undefeated piece. And a lot of the background to the Players Coalition has to do with some of these early text messages. And if you listen to the first episode of Be Conscious with Howard Bryant, I think you know where I'm going with this. On November 29th, the day that Eric Reed left the coalition, a group text that outlined the money they would receive the next day went out from Malcolm Jenkins. It ended with, and this is a quote, remember, the $89 million 7-year donation came out the next day. After Malcolm Jenkins lays that out, the text concludes with, if they were to agree to this, do you think you'd be more comfortable with ending the demonstrations? End quote. Essentially, we're getting $90 million to stop kneeling and raising a fist. Is everybody good with that? Now, this is where, now Howard Bryant, again, he reported that in his book, The Heritage, and he discussed that on the first episode of Be Conscious. And that, I think, is where people's distrust of Malcolm Jenkins comes from. That text, if they were to agree to this, do you think you'd be more comfortable with ending the demonstrations? Because remember, they had that big 4-hour meeting at NFL headquarters in New York, and it was said unconditional support, meaning we're going to support you and we're not asking you to do anything in return, i.e. end the demonstrations. So either that was factually inaccurate, aka a lie, or Malcolm Jenkins voluntarily asked the Players Coalition, the members of the Players Coalition who were demonstrating, to perhaps no longer demonstrate if they were able to get this $90 million check the next day. Why would you voluntarily offer that? If the owners weren't asking for it, why would you offer that up? Why would you offer up something in a negotiation that you don't have to? If you've already been told, hey, we're going to hand things out. Hey, $90 million, next 7 years, bang, we got you. Why add, okay, great. We're going to make this big announcement tomorrow. Hey, let me check with my guys and see if they'll stop demonstrating during the national anthem. Again, it's that I feel like is the biggest seed of distrust that people have with Malcolm Jenkins when discussing this issue. Another question that's worth asking is how much of this stems from Colin Kaepernick's silence? One of the most fascinating parts of the athletes and activism panel that I was at last week stemmed from a question, or it wasn't a question, it was a point that Nate Boyer, who, if you remember, Nate Boyer was the Green Beret who urged Colin Kaepernick to, instead of sit during the national anthem, to take a knee, because there is meaning behind taking a knee, which has been outlined 1,000 times. Nate Boyer said Colin Kaepernick needs to talk, he needs to speak publicly, and he needs to speak in depth. Mark Spears of The Undefeated co-signed that and was like, yes, I was one of the last people who actually talked to Colin Kaepernick. It was 2 years ago, almost 2 years ago to the day. It was 2 years ago this month that he spoke to Colin Kaepernick. And he said it just happened kind of by chance. They were able to get it done. And I think that was the last interview that he's really done. He's been in GQ like there was no interview there. Howard Bryant, on the other hand, said, I don't need Colin Kaepernick to talk. I don't need Colin Kaepernick to know what's going on in this country. I see it. I wake up every day and see what's happening in this country. I don't need Colin Kaepernick to break his, you know, nearly 2-year silence and tell me what's going on in this country. I could see it for myself. Of course, we don't have Colin Kaepernick's side to this Players Coalition story. We have Eric Reed's feelings on what happened. We have Malcolm Jenkins' feelings on what happened. Most of it centers around Colin Kaepernick. We don't know what that guy thinks. We don't know what he thinks about anything because we haven't heard from him. The Players Coalition recently wrote on the Players Tribune, quote, Colin Kaepernick started a movement through protest, taking a knee to put a laser focus on the men and women who have died because of police brutality. His efforts have inspired us to work on behalf of our lost brothers' memories to try to stop the carnage. He did this at great personal cost to himself. Surely it's an act of patriotism to forfeit your job to fight for others. Again, that is authored by the Players Coalition on the Players Tribune. And that was posted in September of 2018. It was just a little over a month ago that was posted. So we know how the coalition started. I suppose that we know what it is. We don't know exactly who's in it or what's happened since that $89 million donation. And that's a question that I would just love to know the answer to. But in time. So the question that we're left with now, Eric Reed said Malcolm Jenkins sold them out. Howard Bryant said on this show, Malcolm Jenkins is a sellout. Karin J. Phillips said, Malcolm Jenkins is a sellout. Now, all of those people have outlined the work that Malcolm Jenkins does. And he does a lot. As I've said before, this show emanates from Sacramento, California, the capital of California. The state capital is 12 minutes from where I'm recording this right now. Malcolm Jenkins has been here. He's been working on prison reform in California. He's been working on legislature in multiple states. He does the work. Now, maybe it's not the work, or maybe it's not in the vein that Colin Kaepernick set out to do or Eric Reed sent out to do, but Malcolm Jenkins is still doing work. So again, the question, did Malcolm Jenkins sell out Colin Kaepernick and Eric Reed and the movement that began in August of 2016? And I've thought so much about this, and I've tried to get Malcolm Jenkins on this show. I've tried to go through the Philadelphia Eagles PR people. I'm going to keep trying to push to get Malcolm Jenkins on this show. And because of the work that Malcolm Jenkins does here in this state and in this city, I believe that's something we're going to be able to accomplish. But I don't think Malcolm Jenkins sold out Colin Kaepernick. I don't think that Malcolm Jenkins sold out Eric Reed. I don't think that Malcolm Jenkins sold out the movement. Now, I know a lot of people on Kaepernick's side would say, no, don't get this twisted. You know by now, I have so much respect for what Colin Kaepernick and Eric Reed have done. And it changed the way I approach a lot of different things. Listening to Colin Kaepernick talk, remembering what was going on in this country in that summer of 2016. I have a picture of Kaepernick and Eric Reed taking a knee hanging in my hallway. Like, I'm about the movement, and I'm about Cap and Eric Reed. But I don't think that Malcolm Jenkins sold him out. I know in the conversation, it's like Colin Kaepernick is the Malcolm X, and Malcolm Jenkins is the Dr. King. And the reason that is, and I've seen this written as recently as this week, Dr. King, while he was still very much hated, and don't let, you know, the modern day narrative fool you from that, like Dr. King was hated at the time, he was far more accepted by white people than Malcolm X was. Malcolm Jenkins is more accepted by those owners than Colin Kaepernick is. I don't know why. I don't know if it's because he's been vocal. I don't know if it's because he's been willing to sit down and talk with them in a way that Colin Kaepernick hasn't. I don't know if it's the fact he's still at the top of his game while Colin Kaepernick may not have been when he was demonstrating during the national anthem. He's a Super Bowl champion. That opens more doors for him. In the NFL, there is no sport. In the NFL, you win, all is forgiven. Ray Lewis is the greatest example. I don't know if Ray Lewis killed somebody. I don't know if Ray Lewis killed two people. I don't know if Ray Lewis was involved with the death of two people. But I know Ray Lewis was around. And a year later, he won the Super Bowl. And suddenly, no one cared what happened the year before. In a span of 1 year, Ray Lewis thought he was going to jail for the rest of his life to winning a Super Bowl. In the NFL, you win, all is forgiven. Malcolm Jenkins, he won. Malcolm Jenkins was at the top of his game. I still think Colin Kaepernick can play football, but I know he was coming back from an injury and he was on a terrible team. And that can very much be seen, the remnants of that terrible team can very much be seen today in this 2018 season. But he was easier to forget. He was easier to ignore. He was easier to make a scapegoat. He was easier to make, as Dr. Harry Edwards said, a martyr. Malcolm Jenkins was easier to deal with. And while he got a lot done, he did it while walking hand in hand with the same people who Colin Kaepernick believed were oppressing others. You don't think when Cap gave that speech that he was talking directly to those owners? How much have we learned about NFL owners since Colin Kaepernick first demonstrated during the national anthem? I was a diehard Cowboys fan. I'm good. I'm done. You're not going to catch me in Dallas Cowboy gear. Can't support Jerry Jones. It's one thing to think something about somebody. It's another thing to remove all doubt. I know what Jerry is. Jerry's framing this as being about his bottom line. And here's the other thing that some of us may not know or just may be difficult for us to accept. There's a massive audience for the NFL. Most of it, and the last number I think I saw was 71% of the NFL's audience, is conservative. Which means probably a high percentage of that 71% are Donald Trump supporters. How do you think they feel about a dude with an afro taking a knee during the national anthem? 2016, Malcolm Jenkins walks hand in hand with Roger Goodell and the NFL owners. That's the same group that has blackballed Colin Kaepernick, and for the most part, blackballed Eric Reid, too. Now, I understand Eric Reid is in the league right now with the Carolina Panthers, but I also know that David Tepper, who owns the Panthers, he's been the owner for about 6 months. So if there was any collusion, if there was any blackballing, he wasn't around for it. Jerry Richardson was. For Malcolm Jenkins to sell out Colin Kaepernick, we would have to know what Cap's intentions were. We know they were to bring attention to social inequalities and police brutality. Did Malcolm Jenkins interfere with that? Did he sideline that? Did he ruin that? No. Did he further the conversation a little bit? I believe that he did. What were Kaepernick's other intentions? Man, we don't know. We haven't heard the dude talk in 2 years. Now, I'm of the mindset Kaepernick doesn't need to talk. I think he's made his point. Well, come to think about it, now that I say that out loud, I don't even know what Colin Kaepernick's point was. I know his stance was to bring attention to police brutality and racial inequalities. He's done that. If he's going to take a knee, or he's going to demonstrate, or he's going to remain silent until those two things are corrected, we're never going to hear from Colin Kaepernick again. Because this is what Tommy Smith and John Carlos were demonstrating for 50 years ago. I don't think it's going to be fixed in a span of 2 years because Colin Kaepernick didn't want to stand for the national anthem, or because Kenny Stills still doesn't stand for the national anthem, because Michael Thomas doesn't, or because Eric Reid doesn't. To the best of my knowledge, those are the only three active players in the NFL that are doing it. I don't think Malcolm Jenkins took anything away from Colin Kaepernick. Maybe Eric Reid was right in that he used the opportunity, used the platform that Colin Kaepernick created, that Eric Reid was a part of. Maybe he used that to get the Players Coalition formed. But is that really a terrible thing? Because, again, I don't know where this money is. I don't know if this money actually exists. I don't know if it's actually donated. Malcolm Jenkins and Anquan Boldin, if this group is real, if this money is real, if this donation was real, they've done a terrible job at telling us about it. Where is this money going? I know that Eric Reid wanted part of the donations, part of the arguments, part of the split in the group was, well, instead of having money go to, say, the city of San Francisco where I play, can I have it go to Louisiana where I'm from? And for some reason, that was a point of contention. Which, again, leads me to believe this was all for show for the NFL. So maybe Malcolm Jenkins did show out a little bit. We certainly know that the NFL showed out a little bit. And as far as the Players Coalition, I don't know whether to make heads or tails of it. It's too secretive. But going back to the original remark, taking the Players Coalition completely out of it, Did Malcolm Jenkins sell out Colin Kaepernick and Eric Reed? I don't think he did. I know a lot of people are going to differ with that, and I'd love to hear your thoughts on it. You can reach out to me, Damian Barling, across all social media platforms, whether it's Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. It's at Damian Barling. You can find me there if you want to send me something more in depth. And I imagine many of you will, because I know a lot of you are going to disagree with my thoughts on Malcolm Jenkins, and that's fine. That's what Be Conscious is about. Be Conscious is about conversation. Damian Barling at me.com. You can reach out to me there. I appreciate you so much for listening. If you're new, hit the download button. If you're a regular subscriber, if you're a regular listener, I should say, please rate the show. It only takes a split second to hit that star. It would mean a lot. It helps us a lot. It helps this show grow. I greatly appreciate that. You can review it. If you have more time, just type a little something up about what you think about this show. And again, I appreciate you so much for being with me. We'll be back next Thursday.